Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, partly cloudy, small chance for some showers. We'll have a high in the low 70s. Kenosha right now, 62 degrees. In Burlington, it's 64. Milwaukee, 66. 65 at this hour in Racine. Racine police investigating the reported robbery of a man on a bicycle about 4 o'clock this morning near the Ascension All Saints Medical Campus. Officers dispatched to the 3500 block of Osborne Boulevard for a man with a possible leg injury from being struck by a vehicle which contained the two offenders, which had sped north towards Spring Street, then disappeared. The initial information had the vehicle's occupants stopping the victim, displaying a gun, cash and a phone reportedly taken, the latter recovered not far away. 43-year-old victim seeking help at a home nearby, the scene of that crime. Kenosha County Sheriff's Department announcing the identity of the human remains discovered last December the 28th along the Lake Michigan shoreline near Sheridan Road in Summers as a man from Waukegan. The response from family members is what assisted in the positive identification of 38-year-old John C. Robinson, Jr., along with anthropologic testing done at the University of North Texas Center for Human Identification. The manner and cause of death still undetermined. Distinctive tattoos helped to identify the body of a man found Sunday in Lake Michigan near Racine's Samuel Myers Park. The Racine County Sheriff's Office says the death of 48-year-old Christopher Millick of Waupaca, though, not suspicious. The investigation, however, will continue. A news release indicates the body was pulled from the lake after a citizen reported seeing what appeared to be a body in the water south of the park just after 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Village of Waterford residents should know when a sex offender moves into their neighborhood, not necessarily by name, but just as a heads up, according to a proposal that the village board is considering. Police Chief Matthew Johnson noted that certain offenders are required to check in with local law enforcement under state law, but others, he said, remain unknown.
You may also want to have your village attorney look into the notification. I think yours is pretty vague, and I think that's good, you know, with no names or anything. But the City of Franklin right now is being sued under the notification that they've made. They haven't released really many of the details of the lawsuit. There's privy to some information, but it is about notification, so I think you might want to have your attorney just double-check and make sure this isn't going to violate the federal judge's orders.
The village board voting to table the issue pending more discussion with their attorney regarding legalities involved. The Kenosha group Congregations United to Serve Humanity, known simply as CUSH, will be having a candlelight vigil at 7 o'clock tonight for the victims of the shootings of the Great Lakes Dragaway on August the 11th. The situation involves a place in Summers Community United Church in Christ at 99th Avenue and 12th Street. The event is similar to the vigils that have been held by the Racine Interfaith Coalition at or near the scenes of violent deaths. Three men from Illinois died from bullet wounds at the Great Lakes Dragaway. The hunt for the offender continues. City of Racine warning the public about a scam that involves a telephone number similar to but not a government phone number, with people across the country having already been contacted. The phone line is now disconnected, we're told. Meanwhile, anybody expecting or receiving a call from the City of Racine with any concerns about its legitimacy, you can call the main phone number at City Hall to verify it. That number is 262-636-9101. Last night, there were several heated moments during citizen comments at the Mount Pleasant Village Board meeting. President Dave DeGroote threatening one speaker with removal, refusing to allow another to speak. Alfonso Gardner had talked about minority hiring. He's done that many times in the past at meetings. And then he got a little upset when he wasn't allowed to respond to comments made by DeGroote, yelling "coward" several times after being told he would be removed if he didn't leave voluntarily. DeGroote also issued a reminder to frequent village critic Kelly Gallagher regarding rules and decorum. That led trustee John Hansen to loudly claim a point of order, which DeGroote refused to acknowledge. Gallagher did not speak last night, nor has she approached the board for citizens' comments, after being observed at a meeting 2 weeks ago clearly mouthing obscenities within view of the audience.
Yes, I get it that people are able to speak. We ask, you know, that they speak freely, but we ask that we follow within the rules when they speak. And when the person who last was up here last in front of me had vulgar outbursts, you know, not once but twice. I mean, so it wasn't a slip of the tongue. It was a deliberate act that was just very insulting to everybody in these chambers.
That's Village President DeGroote. Several other citizens heatedly questioning why the village needs a project manager to deal with either Foxconn or any other related developments. At the request of DeGroote, Claude Lois, the hired project director, explained his job is to protect the village and its taxpayers. Provisions that would impact the Racine Unified School District and UW Parkside have been included in the proposed state budget by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. WRJN's Janet Hoff has the details.
Racine Unified has received a failing grade 2 years in a row from the State Department of Public Instruction, which could mean that a commissioner would be put in charge of underperforming schools under the Opportunity Schools and Partnership Program. The provision adopted by the panel would delay implementation of that program for 1 year. In a statement, State Senator Van Wongard said it's not a free pass, but rather called it a possible one-year reprieve, noting the district must improve. The committee also approved the UW system's capital budget, which includes funding for infrastructure upgrades to Wiley Hall. Chancellor Debbie Ford says she's grateful to the local state legislators who share the belief that the upgrades are a priority and will, quote, benefit the UW Parkside learning community for decades to come. The budget must still be approved by the full legislature. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
City of Racine now has a connection to the Foxconn proposal, even though not directly, and it's because of water. The Racine Waterworks Commission agenda during a 4 p.m. meeting today at the City Hall Annex includes what is listed as a proposal from the engineering consultant Rueckert Milkey to provide technical support to the water utility in response to the Foxconn development. The agenda will also have utility general manager Keith Haas providing updates on discussions about water with Yorkville and Franklin, as well as recent water main breaks and a 2017 rate case. Gateway Technical College President Brian Albrecht giving his annual address to the faculty for the start of the new school year. He said the proposed Foxconn manufacturing plant is a unique and rare opportunity for the region to be a part of what he called a dynamic ecosystem. Among other things, Albrecht highlighting the need to regulate and monitor the plant's daily use and discharge of 8 million gallons of Lake Michigan water.
8 million gallons of water a day is a lot of water that they're going to be using in this one plant. So we need to have unbelievable protections in the environment. We need to have wastewater treatment systems and technicians that can support all of that.
Said Gateway will more than likely be training thousands of technicians for Foxconn to maintain what he calls the most advanced manufacturing system in the world. Democratic congressional candidate Randy Bryce, who's running to try to replace Paul Ryan in the 1st District, the keynote speaker for a labor-sponsored event at the site of the old Jacobson plant on the south side of Racine. It was referenced several times, along with the lost jobs from decades ago. The hour-long live stream press event billed as highlighting President Trump's broken promises to America's working people and the lack of action to stop offshore call center jobs affecting members of the Communication Workers of America.
There have been more than 30 new mass layoffs announced here in our state since Trump took office. 140,000 workers nationwide have gotten pink slips since he took the oath. And yet, he's refused to lift a finger to use the power of the presidency to stop the offshoring of more jobs. In fact, he continues to reward those mega corporations by giving them lucrative federal contracts funded by our hard-earned tax dollars, even as they offshore our jobs.
Also attending, 3rd District Racine Alderman John Tate II. He was promoted as currently working on legislation that would raise worker wages.
So like conservatives often like to talk about personal responsibility. People want to be responsible, but if we don't have a government and a leadership that says we're going to give people the opportunity to be responsible, we're going to hold companies and corporations accountable so that they put people in a position where they can actually hold their own, then we're not doing our jobs as leaders. We're not doing our jobs as legislators.
Chuck Jones just retired from the Indianapolis Carrier Plant, where he challenged the number of jobs saved by a deal from the Trump administration to keep the facility open, said it's time for the president to keep a campaign promise about jobs. The event in Racine, the third stop on a Midwest tour for Good Jobs Nation and support for the U.S. Call Center Worker and Consumer Protection Act. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts there in the local news section. Throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.